Need to pull some more chairs in, or? Well, it was a kind of a short night. We're still trying to pull everything together here, but of course it feels good to have two division wins, and obviously there's a lot of things that we need to work on as a football team, and I think that's really where we're at right now. Each of us individually, every coach, every player, the things we need to do better. Each unit can improve in what we're doing and how we're doing it. I don't think anybody's where we want to be or where we need to be, but I think we're all committed to getting there, and that's what we have to do this week and in continuing weeks, is to continue to work individually and in each of our units to try to raise our level of performance and our overall operation, communication, execution, and all those things. So I think that's really where we're at now. And hopefully this little bit extra time we have as a coaching staff, we can take a good look at how we can do a better job, and we get back to practice next week and start our preparations for Tampa, that we can transfer that information to the players and give us an opportunity to really work on it on the practice field and continue to improve. So that's I think that's kind of where we're at for right now.
How badly would you say this team needs the break that you've got now, kind of between games, after playing two games in four nights?
Well, I mean, every week, every short week has a long week, and every long week has a short week. So, 16-week schedule, 17-week schedule with the bye week. We all know that when you play on a short week, there's a long week with it, or if you play on a long week, then there's a short week behind it. So we'll just take it as it comes. Nothing we can do about that, but we'll just try to use the time that we have to try to improve our team. And I think we all need to do that, so that's what we're going to try to do. I don't really see it as a break. I mean, it's not like we're, going to go to Hawaii for a vacation for a week. I mean, that's not really it. Just need to keep working.
How tough has it been, or how tough will it be to sort of stay patient as you hopefully get guys back that you want to get back?
Well, I think each week in the NFL is its own week. Every team goes through that. You have certain players that aren't available to every team, and you kind of lose guys and get guys back, and that's the NFL. I mean, I'm sure there's every team in the league going through that to some degree. So, we'll do what we always do with it. The guys that are available, we'll get them ready to play. The guys that aren't quite ready yet, we'll work with them and try to rehab and get them back as quickly as possible. Once they're back, then we'll start integrating them back into practice and game plans. So it's the way of life in the NFL.
It's only a 16-game season. I wouldn't think that's a word that you throw out too often, though, is staying patient, trying to stay patient, because there's probably an urgency to
every game. Sure, we have 16 games. That's it. So every game's an important game, and we'll do the best we can with every game, whatever we have to deal with. And that's every other team's in the same boat. So
Bill, there was a report last night that your contract has been extended here. Can you help us at all with anything with your contract?
I don't talk about my personal contract situation. Sorry.
Bill, are the rookie receivers kind of where you would expect them to be at week two in the NFL?
Well, I don't really have any expectations for any rookie players. We just coach them from the day they get here, and we try to get them, every player, to improve and just get better and learn our system and become a better football player in the NFL. And it's a process. Some guys go at different rates. I've learned that through a lot of experience. Some players start quickly, fizzle out. Some players start slowly, come on strong. Some players are more steady than others. I think it just, you really don't know that until the rookie season's over, what the rate is or how it all is going to turn out. You just take it day to day, get better on a daily basis, and teach them all the things that you can teach them, give them the practice time that you can practice them with, correct the mistakes, and keep moving forward. And that's what being a rookie is in the National Football League. It's a great learning experience every day, every week, and hopefully at the end of that rookie season, the players accumulated a lot of knowledge and experience and was able to use that as a good springboard for the rest of his career.
Offense seemed to have a hard time extending some drives last night, which typically is a strength of yours. Were there any similarities to the difficulties on third down?
Well, it's never good to be in long yardage. But there weren't all long yardage situations. There were, it just look overall, offensively, everything we can improve in every area. Running the ball, passing the ball, red area, third down, making the big plays and the opportunities that we have, all those things. So that's what we're going to work on. Work on everything.
Did you like the way Ridley responded this week?
Well, we didn't have a lot of practice time. Most of it was walkthrough and just preparation. But I thought our entire team prepared well for this game. I mean, it was a short week, quick turnaround, big game. We knew it was going to be a tough game. But I thought all the players came in here and had a great attitude about being early, staying a little late, doing a little extra, really being attentive and diligent in their preparation. As I said, it wasn't a perfect game, but I thought the effort and intensity and what they put into it was very good all week and last night for 60 minutes.
Bill, Josh Boyce didn't get any opportunities last night. Is that just part of the game plan, just the way it sort of unfolded this week?
I'd say that's definitely the way it unfolded.
As you mentioned last night, you had a lot of opportunities where you got guys behind the defense. He would appear to be a guy that's a big part of his game is his speed. Is there any thought maybe to giving him a shot? Maybe have Josh send him deep?
Yeah. Well, we did all the things in the game, whatever they were, that we thought were best at that time or in that situation. So we did what we thought was best.
Bill, you have a history of left-footed punters. Why do you seem to like left-footed punters?
Yeah, I've been asked about that before. I think it's a coincidence, really. I don't see it as a... I don't go into it with an attitude of like we have to have a left-footed punter. I know it's been that way. Lee Johnson was here when I got here, so... But we had Tom Tupa at Cleveland. Tom didn't punt in the NFL. He punted in college, and we brought him in, and he became our punter. And then, of course, he punted for us here when I was at New England in 96, and he was an excellent right-footed punter. I coached Dave Jennings at the Giants, and he's one of the best punters that ever punted in the NFL and had a long relationship with Sean Landetta as well. And it's another good right-footed punter. So I don't really have any preference or towards left-footed punters, but I know it's worked out that way. I can't deny it. But I've also had the opportunity to coach and be with a lot of good right-footed punters too, and I was more than happy with them. I love Tupa, love Jennings, love Landetta. So even going all the way back to when I worked, it was involved with the special teams at Baltimore with David Lee, and at the Lions with Weaver and John Stufflebeam, who we brought in, who ended up with a long career in the Navy and didn't play professionally other than in training camp. They were all great, good right-footed punters too. So, it's a coincidence.
Is there anything, is the spin different? You talk about a left hand.
It's totally different, yeah. It's like facing a right-handed pitcher or a left-handed pitcher. It's backwards. It's totally different. But the basic rotation of the ball is, it's fundamentally the same, it's just backwards. So if you were able to flip that over, which you can do, I mean, just like on a camera, I mean, if you were able to flip that over, be like a right-handed golfer or a left-handed golfer, and, you know, the, all the mechanics and everything is the same, it's just reversed. That's exactly.
Kind of sticking with that, is there any reason why you've used or preferred punters to be holders in a field goal operation?
Well, you want your best, you want your best holder to be the holder. I think the key thing in the NFL now is just with the opportunity of your specialist. I mean, again, the game has evolved from when I came into the league. There were most teams had kickers. Most of the punters played another position. And I would say all of the long snappers played another position, either center or linebacker or tight end or, you know, whatever it was. And then punters became pretty much specialized, so every team carried a kicker and a punter. Occasionally you had a guy that could do both, but that was more the exception than the rule. And then eventually teams started going to just pure long snappers. So like Steve DiAsi, who came into the league as a linebacker snapper, kind of ended as a snapper and was one of the best snappers in the league. But he was part of that transition and part of that in that era where teams went and committed fully to a long snapper, and that played no other position. And you've also seen that now in college, that most college teams have a pure snapper as well as a pure kicker and a pure punter. So I just think when you have that situation, if your punter can hold, then the amount of snaps and time that those guys get to practice together, work together, meet together, watch film together, you know, watch slow motion films, I mean, you know, concentrate on the technique as opposed to the backup quarterback or somebody like that who's got a lot of other responsibilities, it's just, you know, a time. And so if your holder can be your punter, then the amount of practice time, consistency, preparation time that those guys have together is just so outweighs what it would be with any other player, you know, receivers who've been holder. And then, of course, you always go through the whole thing if it's a position player, like a defensive back or like it was back in the 60s, you know, I mean, a Jimmy Patton or a receiver, and something happens to them, now who's your backup holder? Because those guys are regular players, you know, so... not only do you have to replace them at their offensive or defensive position, but then you have to replace them in the kicking game. So it just, you know, cuts into your depth. But hey, back when you had 36, 37 players, you know what I mean? That was a whole different ball game. Everybody, you know, everybody doubled up in one way or another. So I think that's the way it is on most teams. Most teams, punters are the holder, and the snappers are the snappers, and kickers are the kickers, and that's the way it is in college. So we're recruiting players that are in that very specialized phase themselves.
You don't know the entire time you've been with the Patriots?
Even going back to the not the Giants, because Dave didn't hold and Sean didn't hold, but ever since then, you know, Tupa held at Cleveland, and so I'd say from, like, you know, somewhere in the 90s, early 90s, that was more the norm. But prior to that, some did, some didn't. You know, Danny White held for Dallas for years, you know, and so forth. So there was kind of that transition there from maybe 85 to 90, early 90s, somewhere in there, where I'd say by around 95 or so, it was pretty much one snapper, one kicker, one punter on every team. And also, as the roster numbers have creeped up as well, that's made it affordable. You know, when you're down in the 30s, then it's a lot tougher to carry, you know, one of each of those, and then, you know, that slices into your roster pretty good. So the rules have made that much more, has made it much easier to do.
Bill, did the game tape unveil maybe more positives than you would have believe would have been there when you were walking off the field last night?
Well, walking off the field is a big positive. I mean, anytime you win a division game, anytime you beat the Jets, that's a big positive. So You know, we did some things well, some plays that didn't look good in the game, didn't look good on tape, but other parts of them looked good. There was just something that went wrong, and some things that plays were good. There were other parts of the plays that, in all honesty, didn't look so good, and, you know, had things gone a little differently on those plays, we might not be talking about them as such good plays. So that's usually the way it is. That's why a lot of times I say after the game, you know, I really have to look at the film because it's so true. You can't watch all 22 guys. You see one part of it and it looks good or it looks bad, but then there's a lot of other things going on that, you know, maybe not sure exactly how those went. So I think we have plenty of positives from the game. We certainly have plenty of things that we need to work on in all three phases of the game, including the coaching, playing. And again, the preparation this week was challenging, but, you know, we need to do a better job on that as well. Hopefully we will. Great. All right. Have a good weekend. See you Monday.